Time is filled with swift transition, naught of earth unmoved shall stand. Build your hopes on things eternal, hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who never leaves you. Whatsoever years may bring, if thy earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Covet not what this world's riches, that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never fade away. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright our home in glory, your enraptured soul shall view. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Yeah. Turn with me, if you will, please, to the epistle of 2 John. 2 John, and we'll read from the first chapter of 2 John. Anybody listening good enough to kind of know why that's significant? We're going to read from the first chapter of the epistle of 2 John. And then we're going to read a little bit from the first chapter of the epistle of 3 John. And the reason why I'm going to read from the first chapter is because they only have one chapter. And so we will read from the first chapter. Matter of fact, the number of Bible references on the computer will just show 3 John and the verse, because there ain't a chapter really to reference. But sometimes that upsets the computer settings when you look it up that way. So I always reference the chapter, even though there's only one chapter. One chapter in 2 John, one chapter in 3 John, one chapter in the book of Jude, one chapter in the book of Obadiah. Is that right? The book of Obadiah, just one chapter. And so there are a few books of the Bible that there's only one chapter in. This one's a great book. And 1st, 2nd, 3rd John are all tightly related, and the subject matter is tightly connected. 2nd and 3rd John especially, and we preached from 1st John on last week talking about walking like Jesus with the Lord, or walking as He walked. And we finished up last Sunday in that verse that said, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. That is, we ought to walk as the Lord Jesus walked. There is the profession to be declared, and then there is the performance to be demonstrated. And that was the only two little points we had last week, and then a few points about those little points. And then tonight I have like seven little points and a few points about those little points, so I might ought to get in a hurry, hadn't I? And so if you'll listen fast, I'll try to preach fast. I really, tonight with these little points, just want to jab and move like a good boxer. Jab and move. And that preacher up north told me one time, he said, we don't have point preachers up here. I said, I don't guess I know what you're talking about, point preachers. I said, what's a point preachers? He said, you know, you preachers down there said you'll have a few points, and said sometimes you'll say that you have a few points and then a few points about those points. He said, our preachers up here don't have a point. That's what he said. I thought, I want to have at least one of them. Amen. And I'd like to have two or three, but I definitely want to have a point at least to get started with in the preaching. So the Lord will help us tonight. We'll read from 2 John and from 3 John. If you found your place, and if you're able and willing, I'll ask you to stand with us and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. I hate to read in, I really do normally make it my practice not to read in two separate places, but I figure no further than what you'll have to turn from 2 John to 3 John that it ought to be all right for us to read from two portions of Scripture this evening. For 2 John chapter 1, verse 1, Word of the Lord says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in love, or truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that ye have heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. Now in 3 John, verse number 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me for a little while tonight, walking in the truth with the Lord. Walking in the truth with the Lord. You can be seated tonight. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Now this is installment 21. In this message, I don't know if I have sense enough really to preach a sermon series or not, but we'll just call it an installment of one long sermon that's lasted for 21 weeks. And this is the 21st installment of this message on walking with the Lord. And we're talking this evening, we've been talking about how last Sunday's message, how we were to walk as He walked, or walk as Jesus walked. And then we learn in this week's lesson, this week's message, about how that we are to walk in the truth. And I want to tell you tonight, the Lord is true. He's true, and if everybody in the world is different, let God be true and every man a liar. We are not as was Pilate, who asked, what is the truth? But we know the truth, for Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In Philippians chapter 4, we are to mind the things that are good and that are true and that are beautiful. We are to mind the things that whatsoever is true, whatsoever is of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Whenever Satan attacks truth, I'm talking about just attacks reality. And that is what he does in our day. He attacks reality. He is anti-truth. You look around you at the things that goes on in our world that's wicked and ungodly, and you shake your head and say, it doesn't make any sense. You're right. It does not make any sense. And Satan, when he speaketh of his own, he speaks of a lie, for he is a liar and the father of it. That's John chapter 8. And Jesus is the truth. You see, we know the truth. Matter of fact, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you talk about things you don't know nothing about. He said, you speak of what you know, of what you have seen and what you have heard, but we speak of what we know. I know the truth. Amen. And you shall know the truth, John 8:32, and the truth shall make you free. I'm thankful that I know the truth. Jesus said unto his Father, he said, you have cleansed my disciples, you purified them by thy word. Thy word is truth. Psalm 33:4 said, the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. I'm thankful to know the truth. I'm glad to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Amen. And I put my confidence in what I know is true. There's a lot of things I'm uncertain about, but the things that I know is true, I put my confidence in. And those things are not the things that are associated with my own abilities or my own intellect or my own desires or my own ambitions. I'm not real sure about what the media says. I'm a bit skeptical. Usually if I hear that it was reported in the New York Times, my first reaction is, wow, that might actually be true. It's possible that it might be true. I mean, the New York Times reported it. That means it's likely not true. But it might be. I mean, I'm surprised just about when I hear politicians say something that is true. I know if they give me a number, it's not true, especially if it's a president. He wouldn't know one number from another. If he says it's 40 billion, it's probably 20 million. I mean, he just makes numbers up. I mean, just numbers on the top of his head and lies and tells things that he knows is not even true just because he knows nobody's really going to check him on it. But I'm telling you, there is one thing you can know is true. I've heard preachers preach and was not real sure if what they were saying was true. I've heard them tell stories and tell accounts and use illustrations, and I think, now wait a minute, I thought I heard Mays Jackson tell how that happened to him back in the 70s, and this fellow was not even a twinkle in his daddy's eye back then, and he told it like it was actually him that was in the story, and I just didn't think it was true. But I'm going to tell you one thing I know is true, and that is everything that the Lord has given to us. His word is true. His gospel is true. His record is true. And his grace, his mercy, and his love is true. You can walk in the truth. I thought about how uneducated we are in the truth in this generation. Matter of fact, we're so uneducated in the truth that in this generation, our Sunday school lesson, Brother Bob mentioned it to us this morning, we're living in a generation where people think they can have my truth and your truth, and you know that those things can both differ and be the truth, but that's a lie. And we are unfamiliar with, uneducated about, uninformed concerning the truth. And there is one truth. Now, well, to my sister and these other good school teachers that want to try to do a good job, what they do is they're more concerned about the three R's of my friend than what they are all of the other ancillary things of going to school. She's less concerned, you know, about some of the other things that they try to spend time on than she is reading, writing, and arithmetic. I mean, back when Brother Mills was talking about watching Lassie was a little boy back in the message, I appreciate that good preaching this morning. I even appreciate the story about Lassie. And I can honestly say, as tough as what I've been on my girls, I never gave them a whipping for watching Lassie. And this morning, I appreciate that preaching. Back when he was a little boy, even when I was a little boy, it's been longer than what it used to be, but it still hadn't been a long time. High school was about reading, writing, and arithmetic. And when I look at this passage, this chapter, this epistle of 2 John, I think about three R's that we need to be educated located in this passage of Scripture. It is the writer, the recipient, and the routine. Now, I know all three of them don't start with an R, but neither do the educational three R's of reading, writing, and arithmetic. And the writer that we see in this chapter is the apostle of love. He is here called the elder, not just in some sense of an ordained minister, but he is the elder, the oldest of the apostles and the leaders of the church. He's seasoned, he's wise, he's tested, he's proven, and he's experienced in walking with the Lord. And he lets them know that there is truth in walking with the Lord, that it's real, that this thing of walking with the Lord is not just something that he, being a first-year seminary student, has read about in a book, that it is some thing, you know, that is theoretical, or he heard about it from someone else, but as an old man, having lived for God since his youth, he was the youngest of the apostles when Jesus was in this world in his ministry, and now he's the last one that's still alive. He's the oldest one that's lived to that age. He's probably 90 years old when he's writing this, and he said, I've lived it, I have tested it, I've found it out, I know what's true, I know what I'm talking about. You can walk with the Lord. I'm telling you, walking with God, knowing God, your experience with God, knowing the truth, having an anchor that stands sure, that's very sure. And my friend, it's more than just something you can read about in the book. It's more than just something you'll hear about from somebody else or from the preacher, that you can live it every day of your life. This thing of knowing God is genuine. It is sincere. It is true. You can anchor your life in it. Amen. Praise God. I appreciate what Brother Meal said this morning. He said, you don't have to worry about the anchor holding. The anchor holds. All you got to do is be sure you're attached to the anchor. Amen. The anchor will hold. The Lord's not going to change. He's not going to give up. He's not going to give out. He's not going to wear out. Our God, my friend, he will be our God even unto death. I praise the Lord for that. The writer here, this elder, gives this great word that we can walk in what is true. And then there is the recipient. He writes unto the elect lady and to her children. Much has been written about who this is, and we don't know who it is. But it seems that it was an elder woman who was possibly the hostess of the church, which may have made a practice to gather in her home. She is specifically called elect, specifically called a lady. This means and speaks of her divine appointment unto this purpose and her dignity in service. It seems as though she may have been a person of wealth and influence in her a town in which she lived. I want to thank God that the Lord saves common, ordinary, plain old people. I'm thankful he uses preachers like Amos in her Sunday school lesson, who was a gatherer of sycamore fruit and a herdman, not a prophet, neither the son of a prophet. He didn't have a great background or pedigree. I'm thankful the Lord uses folks like that. But I'm also thankful he saves men of high degree. And in this case, a woman of high degree, a lady, as it were, her corresponding title. My friend, to being a lord or a lady. That is, she is likely the matron of a large manor. She's a person of means. But yet she's not allowed wealth and the things of this world to have her carried about with the things of the world. She's got her head screwed on straight. She's trusting in what is true. And it surely is what God is. God and God is true. And truth is right. If you're the elder preacher or the younger preacher, or you're the elder lady or the young lady, or if you're her children, true is still true. Amen. And the elder preacher writes to the elder lady and he says, how about your youngest? I found out they're walking in the truth too. And so for young and old, male and female, rich and poor, true is still true and right is still right. Amen. Oh, the writer, and then the recipients, and then there is the routine. The daily walk of this woman and her children. The Bible said that he had heard about that. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received commandment from the Father. Verse number 4. The daily walk of this woman and her children. I believe literally and figuratively, this woman and her children and this church, both elder and and younger are intended here. That is, it may be her literal offspring. And then again, maybe as Paul is with Timothy, who counted him his son in the gospel. And he said, both younger and older, you're walking in the truth, and I rejoice in that. Amen. A pastor will rejoice in nothing more than to see people hear the word and believe the word and then put it into practice. If you really want to make a preacher happy, listen, friend, $100 bill goes a long way, but it don't go far as what it used to. But it does go a long way. But I'll tell you what makes me happier than $100 bill is when I see people who take the message and put it into their lives and try to take thus saith the word of the Lord and really live by what it says. Amen. When you become not a hearer of the word, but a doer also. When I see people that get saved, and then they try to live for Jesus, and they try to walk with the Lord, and they try to serve the Lord, that thrills me. That makes me happy in my soul. And if this elder preacher and this elder woman in the church are rejoicing over the young people that's in the same church, believing the same gospel, living for the same Lord, reading the same Bible, and worshiping the same God, and going to the same heaven, amen, and that they're walking in that same truth. Well, I praise the Lord for that. And this routine, they're walking in the truth, is really the subject for today, the third of the three R's. And now they're walking in the truth with the Lord. I want you to notice a few things, maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 things about this. About this walking in the truth with the Lord, and we'll be finished here. Have this evening. Notice the love that's in the truth. In verse number 1, he said to the elder, to the elect lady, and to her children, whom I love in the truth. I love in the truth. Have this world thinks the truth is too harsh. Have they say, oh, that preacher, now he really tells it like it is. What they mean by that is he preaches hard. Have some will say it's just too straight. How do you realize there's no such thing as too straight? Have something is either straight or it's not straight. It's either straight or it's crooked. It cannot be too straight. There's never been a carpenter who picked up a 2x4, eyeballed it from one end to the other, and said, throw that one out, it's too straight. There has never been, friend, it's either straight or it's not straight. And my friend, our preaching, our lifestyles, our living for God, our doctrine will not be too straight. It's either straight or it ain't straight. It's either straight or it's not. It's either true or it's not true. And my friend, we talk about preaching love as if love were to be something that is untrue. But I'm telling you here tonight, friend, love is never a lie. A true love is never a lie. When you lie to people, you're not telling them the truth. You don't love them. Hey, now listen, you can be too transparent. You can say too much. You can have a big fat mouth and hurt people's feelings, and that's wrong. And you ought not to be cruel. And you need to learn to have your words seasoned with salt. But you don't need to lie to people. Amen. I mean, lying is not the truth. And when we lie, you're not loving. Love is never a lie. You can really only love in the truth. And if we're going to preach the truth and believe the truth and live the truth, somebody is going to say that's too hard. But I'm telling you, friend, love is found in the truth. You realize Jesus is the truth. He's the truth. I mean, he not just tells the truth. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And the same Jesus, the same God who is the truth and who cannot lie, is the same God that says that he's love. He's love and he's truth at the same time. And the devil is a liar. And when he says that you can't love people without lying to them, without affirming them, without telling them what they're doing is all right, a friend, he's telling a lie, and the truth is not in him. Real love, my friend, is rooted in the truth. Amen. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. Ephesians 4:15 tells us speaking the truth in love. 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says of the lost that they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing that you have purified your souls and obeyed the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Love is true and truth is loving, and you cannot lie and abide in love. And now listen, when he tells her about the love of the truth, it is a family love. Both this lady and her children walked in love and in the love of the truth. It's a familiar love. This is such a personal letter. It's written from the elder John to the elect lady, and of that respect is shown as an example unto all of us. It's family love, familiar love. And when we have the love and the truth, it's the Father's love, according to verse 4 and 5. And he said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received the commandment from the Father. And now beseech thee, lady, not as though around it wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we have from the beginning, that we love one another. It's the Father's love. And then in verse 6, it's faithful love. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment that you have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. There is love in truth, and there is no love in the lie. A preacher who will tell you what you want to hear and not what the Lord told him to say does not love you. Now, they'll ride down the road with your money in their pocket while your children go to hell and never bat an eye, and that is not love. Amen. A Sunday school teacher who will just skirt the subjects and say nothing about this or that because so-and-so might get bothered by it does not love you. A parent who will let you behave any old way without taking a hickory switch to you and lighting you up like a Christmas tree once in a while does not love you. And my friend, hey, and then listen, God help us. There is no lie in love. Love is in the truth. Amen. And when I tell you the truth, it does not mean that I don't love you. It means that I do. And listen, how we tell the truth means and tells whether we love folks or not. I take no pleasure in my friend reproving or rebuking. But I do take pleasure in the truth. And I do want to tell the truth, and I want to be rooted and grounded in the truth. There is love in truth. Not only do we see in this chapter that there's love in truth, but there is knowledge in truth. And there is the knowledge of the truth. Verse 1, he says, also all they that have known the truth. I'm glad I know the truth. He said, I'm writing unto you. I love you in the truth. And all of them that love the truth and know the truth, they love you too. They know the truth and they know you and they love you. 1 John 2:21 says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. And that is that the truth, God's truth, is absent of deception. It is a holy truth. It is completely true. It's entirely true. It's not just partially true or somewhat true or mostly true. The fact checkers don't have to give 2 or 4 or 5 Pinocchios. Whenever the preacher tells the truth, it's the truth. Amen. The knowledge of the truth. 1 John 1, only one chapter, verse 12. Demetrius hath the good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. This world does not seem to know or understand the truth and cannot discern the truth, is confused on the truth. Like Pilate, they ask, what is the truth? But the child of God has knowledge of the truth. Oh,
all praise His name. There is freedom in knowing the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There's freedom in knowing the truth. There's forgiveness in knowing the truth. 1 Timothy 2:4, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified of in due time." If you know what rosary beads are, my friend, you know what a steeple is, you know what stained glass windows are and padded pews. But if you don't know the truth, then to my friend Jesus came to this world to save sinners, then you don't know the truth you need to know. But if you know the truth, if you know the truth of "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life," then friend, you know the truth that there is forgiveness in. You can be forgiven in knowing the truth. Amen. Freedom in the truth. There is forgiveness in knowing the truth. There's a foundation in knowing the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15 calls the church of the living God the pillar and ground of the truth. In these last days, we are warned about the denial of the truth. He said men would be ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Matter of fact, in the next verse, he told us about Jannes and Jambres who withstood Moses. And now who they are. And those are the magicians of Pharaoh who, when Moses comes in and said, "God spit out there in that bush of fire that wouldn't burn up, and He told me to come tell you how to let His people go." And he said, "I don't know who God is. I don't believe you. And I won't let His people go." And he took the rod that was in his hand and he cast it down and it became a serpent. And then he took it by the tail and it became a rod again. Jannes and Jambres were the magicians of Pharaoh. They knew that what Moses had was true, and they knew that what they had was a falsehood, was a lie. But they came out there with their magic act, and they threw sticks on the ground, and their sticks became serpents before Moses and before Pharaoh. But Moses threw his stick down, and his serpent got up the other serpents. Amen. They knew that they stood for lies and he stood for truth, but even still they wouldn't believe the truth. And he said, "Don't be like those who were ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. You know it, but you won't believe it. You know it, but you won't trust it. You know it, but you won't live by it." And I feel you're denying what you know is true. You realize that you're going to stand in the judgment one of these days and give an account before God of what you knew to be true and yet you rejected it. That is the evil spirit of unbelief. Everybody has doubt. We sometimes, we've lost a lot in the English language, and we equate doubt and unbelief as if it were the same thing. That doubt is uncertainty. My friend, even those who believe the Lord have doubts. And the Lord can help us in that. But unbelief is an evil heart. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews to be very diligent, lest in any of you there be an evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief is the willful refusal of the truth. And my friend, that's where Jannes and Jambres were. They willfully refused the truth. And may we in this day, my friend, receive the foundation, the surety, the certainty, have the anchor that is in the truth and walk in that truth, the knowledge of it. I'm glad I know what's true tonight.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. I think about my pawpaw. My granddaddy was my pastor all my life growing up. I think about him that afternoon when we were in the meeting and a whole lot of stuff was said. Some things I know were true and some things I know were not true. It was a tense meeting. Some of you were there with me on that day and with him, and things was really tense. And there was a fellow, you know, he was already a woke religionist before we knew what that even was. And he stood up on the other side of the meeting as if he were at some Marxist party rally or something, you know, and going to stand in solidarity with the oppressed. And he stood over there
and turned his face against the wall to stand in defiance and silence. And y'all think of it what you want to. The guy's about 35 years old and he ain't never been married. He is the head lieutenant of the Light and Loafers Brigade. And he is standing over there sort of looking off towards the wall. And my granddaddy said, go ahead and stand up over there if you want to. Just stand there and look at the wall. We all know the truth of what you're about. And he didn't tell us what it was, but we all knew what it was. Amen. Oh, my friend. He said this one's done this and that one's done that. And that one down there ought to be in prison somewhere or another. And he said, I know what I'm talking about. Amen. Some of them don't even know what you're talking about. But he said, I know what I'm talking about. Listen, it gives you a great deal of certainty when you know the truth. When you don't have to be worried about whether it's true or not. Oh, listen, you know why the child of God? Nobody wants to die. Nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. But you know why the child of God can look the icy fingers of death in the face? Whenever it tries to put the death grip around their throat and deprive God's children of the last breath of life. And you know why God's children can charge into eternity with help and with hope and with confidence? Because we know in whom we have believed. And I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I have confidence that I know the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The knowledge of the truth. And then in verse number 2, there is the sake of the truth. Verse number 2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. For the sake of the truth. You see, their love was for the sake of the truth. This is what brought together John and the elect lady and the young believers in our passage. It is for the sake of the truth that we're gathered here tonight, loving one another and worshiping the Lord. Had we been having a home killing, most of you would not have decided to attend tonight. Amen. Had we been having a drag race, Brother Daniel's family might have been the only ones here. Amen. Oh, listen. Have y'all been having a taffy pulling or a bicycle a rally or something other here tonight? I probably would not have attended either. Had this been a golf tournament, Brother John might have been. Him and Alex, only one showed up. But see, we're having church tonight. We are gathered for the sake of the truth. And no matter what walk of life you're in, no matter your age, if you are 12, a 20, or if you are 90. If you know the Lord, and if you're saved, and if you're walking in the truth, it's for the sake of the truth that we've come together tonight around the gospel, amen. And here we are in unity, one with another, amen. Hallelujah. It's for the sake of the gospel truth that we've come together. The gospel truth, the good news that Jesus has come. No greater truth exists than the truth of the gospel. That's why this truth abides in us and will abide forever. It's the gospel truth. And it brings all of us together from many different backgrounds, from many varied interests. My friend, but His blood has made us one. Amen. I think about, and I don't know if I can tell this just exactly right. Now think about how I read years ago about that young lady in communist Russia, the Soviet Union. We ought to have more preaching about it. By the way, y'all pray for me. I'm praying about something. I'm studying on something. And I'm praying about it, seeking the Lord's face on something. I want to preach if God will help me. I don't know how many messages it'll take us. I'm thinking probably 10, and it may be 12. I don't know. I'm praying and I'm studying about it. I'm studying and praying about preaching a series next year, if the Lord will let me and help me, on Marxism is a demonic theology. Marxism is a demonic theology. We need more preaching about Marxism and what it's doing. Cultural Marxism, governmental social Marxism, my economic Marxism, it's a demonic theology. I ain't got time to preach that tonight, but I'm telling you, we need to preach against that mess. It's taken over in America. It is taken over. It is anti-God, anti-church, anti-Christ, anti-Jew. It is anti-Semitic. It is anti-Bible. Amen. And it is against you and your family, whether you know it yet or not. Amen. 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 And we'll come more to that. But back years ago when they were having in the old Soviet Union, it was, as it always ends up being, it was outlawed to worship the Lord behind the Iron Curtain. And listen, I'll have to tell you about stuff that I just had to read in the book somewhere. The only reason my grandmother and her family lived in freedom is because her father, who had turned during the Second World War to go with the American side, had been in West Berlin, his family in East Berlin, and he had to break back and forth through when the Iron Curtain was just a barbed wire fence with Russian soldiers guarding it, and bring his family across one by one into freedom out of communism. So don't nobody come to me and tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm telling you, friend, they lived in fear of their lives, lived in fear of the penalty if they worshiped the Lord. A little girl one night in the snow headed to the secret location where they were going to worship God in church was stopped by mean old soldiers who had been charged if they found any of this way to kill them and also all that would gather with them. And they knew she was dressed up, looked like she had somewhere to go, walking in the snow at night. And they asked that little girl, 12, 14 years old, I said, young lady, where are you going? I see him and hauled and tried not to say anything that would cause trouble. And finally they demanded of her to know the truth. She said, well, it seems that our elder brother has passed away. And some of the family is gathering tonight to discuss the matter. Amen. I don't know if you know about it or not, friend, but that's why we're come together. Our elder brother gave his life for us on the cross. And the families come together tonight to discuss the matter. I got good news to the family. Not only did he die, he was buried and he rose again on the third day. And it's because of the truth, for the sake of the truth, that we are come together tonight to discuss the matter, to tell the truth, to preach the truth, to lay out the truth. Hallelujah, friend. And I love to tell the story. Hallelujah. The gospel truth, amen, for the sake of the gospel truth. My friend, it's for the sake of God's truth. That is, God is true. Everything it says is true. While society foolishly speaks of my truth and your truth, the Word of God only speaks of the truth. John 3 and 33, he that hath received this testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. That God is true. Hallelujah. Praise God. Five times the Bible says of him that he is the true God. 1 John 5 and 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Romans 3 and 4, let God be true, but every man a liar. Yes. For the sake of the gospel truth, for the sake of God's truth, for the sake of the great truth, there is no greater truth than God's Word. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's the gathered truth. Hallelujah. This truth is with us, is what he says. Hallelujah. At the end of verse 2, says it's going to be with us forever. Thank God. This truth shall be with us forever. God's people do not have to worry about the future, but we gather tonight with certainty in our hearts that God will keep His Word. And the reason we come together tonight believing in the living God and the God of the living is because we know that He's true and that heaven is real and that what waits for us is going to be worth it all one of these days.
Yes.
For the sake of the truth. And then there is in this chapter the inclusivity of the truth. Inclusivity, Brother Randy, word of the day. Inclusivity. That means, I'm going to give you the easy definition. That means what it includes. Inclusivity. That means what it includes.
Hallelujah. Verse number 3 is a good one. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father in truth and love. Verse number 3 seems to some like just kind of a greeting, but I notice two vital things about the truth in it. I notice what a truth includes. He says, grace be with you, mercy, peace. Oh, it is by grace that we are saved. His mercy endures forever, and we have peace that passes all understanding. Peace the world did not give. Peace the world cannot take away. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah for what this truth includes. Have they not on this verse 3 tell me what it includes, but it tells me who it includes. He said that this comes from the Lord, from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. It comes from the Father and the Son, and is delivered by the Holy Ghost to the church, which means it includes you, it includes me, and I'm thankful to be counted in the number. Amen. The inclusivity of the truth. I'm a part of this thing by the grace of God. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I didn't join though I was born. I had a new birth, and some glorious day I'm going to sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. I'm letting it include me. Amen. Who it includes and what it includes. And then number 5 tonight, not only the inclusivity of the truth, but the rejoicing of the truth. In verse number 4, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received commandment from the Father. 3 John chapter 1 and verse number 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. The elder apostle here says, my joy, my rejoicing, my happiness, my excitement, my zeal is in that I have seen you and I've seen your children walking in the truth. I'm glad the elder apostle's not lost his zeal, his joy, his pleasure in life or in the gospel. It thrills me to see Brother Mills this morning stand up and preach and be excited and to have a message and to be excited about his message. And he's jealous about his message. I'm passionate about his message. That helps my heart, helps my soul. There may come a time when my voice is not as loud as it is now, and a lot of folks will be glad. There may come a time when I can't hold out to preach as long as what I do now. There'll be a lot of folks glad about that one too. They've been telling me for years that time would come just any day. There may come a time when my mind will not hold up to even be able to put a cohesive thought together. But I pray that there never comes a time when I'm not jealous about this precious word, about the truth, about the gospel, about what's real, about God, about heaven, about the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. The rejoicing in the truth. I tell you, it makes me happy to hear somebody preach the truth, sing the truth, and to see somebody walking in and living in the truth. His joy is in the truth. He rejoices in the truth because of the children. He said in chapter 1, verse number 4, 2 John 1:4, he said, I watched the children, and he said, I found of thy children walking in the truth. And that's why I'm rejoicing. Praise God. Maybe it wasn't all of them. He didn't say, I found all thy children walking in the truth. But he said, I found of thy children. Sometimes we find ourselves spending much time concerned and worried and burdened. And maybe we should be burdened. We shouldn't worry, but we should be burdened. About those who are not walking in the truth. About our children or grandchildren that are living for God as they should. But I'm going to tell you, when we find of our children walking in the truth, if it is sometimes, if it is all of them, or if it is some of them, we need to rejoice in what does and in who does. And he said, I didn't find all of them, but I found of them walking in the truth, and I'm rejoicing in that. And not all the young people's gone off the deep end. And not all of them's gone out to the world. Not all of them's chased after the flesh and the devil. And he said, when I see young people following the truth, when I see your children following the truth, I rejoice in that. Amen. Amen. Because the children
He rejoiced in the truth because of the commandment in verse number 4. He said, we've received a commandment, a great rejoice greatly that I found that I should walk in the truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. He said, I'm excited, I'm rejoicing. We've received a commandment and I want to live by it. We are to live by the revealed will of God for our lives. He that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He will judge us in eternity, but we're not blindly trying to make it to the judgment. We're not feeling our way along, hoping we can do right, and worrying when we get there, God's going to give us trouble because we did our best and come up short, and we didn't really know what to do. But instead, friend, He gave us a roadmap. He gave us a guidebook. He gave us the truth. He gave us His revealed will for our life in the Word of God. And this is my roadmap from here to heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I rejoice in that.
Yes, sir.
It'd be a bad thing to have to go to glory and meet the Lord one of these days in judgment. Him holds you accountable for everything you didn't know you're supposed to have been doing.
Right.
That would have been unreasonable now, wouldn't it?
The Word is truth.
Amen. Yes. But since He gave us the Bible, matter of fact, the Queen of Sheba is going to rise up in the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus said. He looked at Jerusalem and said, the Queen of Sheba is going to rise up in the judgment and condemn this generation. Because she heard about Solomon, she came to see it. She said, everything that I've heard about him is true, and the half hath not yet been told. He said, I'm telling you, we're greater than Solomon's here. He said, Jonah preached to the Ninevites. He said, the men of Nineveh is going to rise up in the judgment and condemn this generation because Jonah went unto them and they repented. And he said, a greater than Jonah is here. Here we are, Brother Daniel, in the time of information, in the land of Bibles and churches and preachers, and most of us has got a Bible in our hands, and a Bible in our car, and a Bible in a coffee table at the house, and seven or eight more in a cabinet somewhere, or a closet somewhere, and copies of it on our phones and computers, and we got access to the Word of God, and preachers preaching everywhere, and gospel available everywhere, and my friend, I know there's a lot of disinformation and misinformation and dishonest things, but there's also access to preaching on the radio, the television, the internet. I know there's a lot of garbage on all of those things too, but there's also some preaching on those things. And the Word of God is more available today than it's ever been in the history of the universe. And one of these days, the men of Nineveh are going to rise up in the judgment and condemn this generation because they've rejected that one that's greater than Jonah, that one that's greater than Solomon, that one that's greater than the temple. Amen. And brother, they're going to answer to God one of these days.
Yes.
The revealed will of God, the commandment of God. We have the truth. Rejoicing in the truth. I'm rejoicing in the fact that God's given me a roadmap to know what to do in my life.
Amen.
I have people come to me all the time and say, I'm searching and praying about the will of God for my life. I believe in that, but there's a whole lot of people doing that are not doing what they already know to be the will of God. Amen. I mean, friend, listen, you don't have to come to me and ask me to pray about the will of God for your life as it pertains to being saved. It is the will of God for every lost person to be saved. You don't have to wait and see if it's God's will for him to save you. You don't have to pray about if it's God's will to save your lost loved ones. You weren't concerned about your daughter, your son, your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your neighbor, your friend. You don't have to pray, Lord, if it's your will, save them. It is His will. He wants to save them. It is. You don't have to pray about whether or not it's God's will for you to live a separated, clean life and to run and flee from sin. Amen. I mean, it is God's will. You already know that. You don't have to come to me and say, now I'm praying about God's will concerning my Bible reading. We already know what God's will is. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You don't have to come to me and pray. I say, now preacher, we need to pray about my tithing. I'm praying about whether I ought to tithe. We already know what God's will is for your tithing and mine. And that is to do it. Amen. And I preached that one night for about an hour and 10 minutes. minutes, preached it scripturally, read the Bible, gave verse after verse after verse after verse. Had a woman sit up after I got done preaching and said, "You know, Brother Toby is right, and what he's preached here tonight is true." And she said, "It really don't matter how much you tithe, so long as you tithe something." And if that's what she thought I preached, she thought wrong. And the word tithe means 10%. That's the beginning of our giving. It is God's will for you to tithe off the gross. And that is, that money that the government took from you was your money first before they took it. And their withholding, my friend, is them getting their part first, even though it's not really your permission for them to do so. But then you are to give off the gross at beginning at 10%. And then you pray and ask God to help you to know how much above that to give in alms or in kindness or charity and in missions. How to try to win the lost at any cost. And if you're not serving at 10%, brother, our baseline for praying about your giving is off base. We ain't got to pray about the will of God in some things in your life because we already know what it is.
Amen.
Amen.
And now what we need to do is just walk in the truth. It's not sometimes that we don't know the truth, it's that we don't want to do it. I rejoice in the commandment. Lots of folks, this is the kind of preaching people get mad about. They get mad when you tell them the truth. But I'm going to tell you, I rejoice in the truth tonight. I'm so glad that when I was a new Christian and had just been saved, that the Lord put a man of God in my life that told me the truth and instructed me in how to live for the Lord. Because the Lord knows my heart. I wanted to live for Him. And I needed to know how. Amen. And I know folks get upset at you when you preach on how to live for God. But I'm going to tell you, I got a license on my wall in my office that says that I'm supposed to do it. And I've got elders' credentials on the wall that says I have been charged with the responsibility to do it. And I must do it. And I need to do it. I'm responsible to God to do it. And you need for me to do it because you're responsible to God to live it. And when I stand before Him one day, I don't want nobody to stand there and say, "I would have done it, Lord. But Brother Toby never said nothing about that. If you had just told me, I'd have done it." And so tonight I'm trying to tell you, amen. God help us. We don't have to pray about your worship in the Lord. Now listen. I understand there's a difference in praising Him and worshiping Him. You can praise Him at all times. Really, your heart's got to get in gear to worship Him. What I mean by that, our praise is an outward thing. And our worship is an inward thing. The Lord seeks for us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Am I preaching about the truth tonight?
Yes.
And He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But you don't have to wait until God just gets a hold of you and rings your bell to praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now that Bible is God's revealed will for our lives. That's what this book is. It tells us what to do, how to do, when to do. On our way to heaven tells us how to live our lives. On our way to glory. Hallelujah. And that book said that let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And all of you in the building tonight have been doing it. Breathing in and breathing out and breathing in and breathing out and breathing in and breathing out. And if you've been sitting here all night long sucking in and blowing out and you haven't praised the Lord, you've been out of the will of God. Amen. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
You say, "Well, everybody's different." Oh, well, no duh. Tell me something I have never heard of. Everybody's different. I know everybody's different. But I'm going to tell you something. A lot of folks don't worship the Lord not because they're different, but because they just don't worship the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
You're right.
A lot of folks don't praise the Lord just because they don't praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. If we don't praise the Lord, we ought to be ashamed of that.
Yeah, right.
I know a lot of people that's ashamed to praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, you'd raise your hand and say hallelujah. Do you raise your hand and say praise the Lord? You'd clap towards heaven. You would say amen when the preacher preached, except you're ashamed of somebody might see you. You would testify and you'd tell somebody you love the Lord and I'm glad I'm on my way to glory and I want to thank Him for loving me. Sit back down, except you're afraid somebody might notice you or might see you. You're ashamed to worship the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. Knowing what I know about God's revealed will for my life, I'd be ashamed not to worship the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, those whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I'm saved and I want to say so. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to say something that's mean street crawling up my leg, but I'm going to be transparent tonight. Sister Judy can go home and tell the preacher about it. He'll tell her it's the truth. Over the years, some of the people that I've pastored, and I love all of them, but some of them's easier to love than others. And I'm sure there's been easier times for them to love me than at others. But some of the people that I've pastored over the years, some of the same ones who were ashamed to say so during the testimony meeting, were never ashamed to say I during the business meeting.
You're right.
Some of the same ones who they wouldn't have known it when the Holy Ghost walked through here if He had a name tag on and was calling their name. But during business meeting, they were the first ones that were not the least bit ashamed to stand up and make a move or a motion or a suggestion or whatever else. It's amazing how they were ashamed to stand in the testimony time, but not ashamed to stand in the business meeting time. That is not a testimony to your spirituality. If you're more comfortable conducting business than what you are conducting worship service, there's something wrong with your relationship with God. I probably said enough about that. It's the will of God. The commandment. I'm rejoicing in the truth because of the consistency. And I got to move on and I am about to close. The consistency, chapter 1 of 3rd John, in verse number 3, he says in that verse, he said that I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. There was a joyous testimony. The report was that the believers were walking in the truth. They had a daily experience, a true walk in the truth of God. If you walk in the truth, that is, your everyday experience is true. Not on and off and up and down and round about, but every day, consistently walking in the truth. That's number 6 is the walk of truth. Verses 5 and 6 he talks about. We've hit that 7, 8, 10 times. But I want to tell you about it. It is a long walk. The walk of truth is a long walk. He said, I'm not giving you a new commandment, but the same commandment, verse 5, that was in the beginning is the one I'm giving to you. John tells us it's not new what he shares. It's the same thing Jesus taught us when he was here. It's the command that's from the beginning. Always be cautious of those that have something new. That which is true is not new, and that which is new is not true. It's a long walk. Why we're not ashamed to be an old-time Christian. I'm not looking for a new way and a new day. A new pasture and all that other foolishness. They didn't need to have strobe lights and smoking mirrors and projectors and all that stuff to have church in the Holy Ghost when I was a little boy. And to these outfits to think they got to have all of that stuff and some fellow ribbing up a motorcycle somewhere. I had a friend of mine this week sent me a thing of where they were having at their church an invitation for me to come to their outfit where they were having an outdoor concert. Now, I'm not against having a singing outside. And I would tell you, having an outdoor concert and they were having a baptism afterwards in horse troughs and they had such and such group there to sing and it was some sort of metal band of some kind that looked more like Woodstock or a drums concert. My friend, this was supposed to be their biggest revival event of the year. My friend, hey, I feel about like John.
Morgan said one night, he said, there is a Japanese word for that. And it's pronounced hoggy-washy. Amen. I tell you, that's what it was. It was hoggy-washy, friend. There was no truth in that. How we could have church the same way we always had church. Have the biblical way to have church. Preaching and praying and singing and worshiping and loving God. Amen. It's a long walk and it's still a ride walk. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed to be an old-time Christian. It's a long walk, and then it's a loving walk. If we love God, he said, we're going to love one another. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is a commandment that's been heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it, in verse number 6. If we love God and love one another, we'll walk in the truth. It's a long walk, a loving walk. It's the Lord's walk. Our Lord walked before us in truth, living the truth, telling the truth, revealing the truth, and so are we to walk in truth with the Lord.
Yes.
What the whole message tonight's about. And then there, this is maybe my favorite, Brother John, the offspring of the truth. I want you, if you close your Bibles, I want you to open them back up with me now to 2 John and to 3 John, and I want to point something very small but important out to you. In 2 John chapter 1 and in 3 John chapter 1. I want to, the offspring of the truth, I want to make an observation on a difference between a couple of very similar verses. If you got your Bibles open to 2 John, say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 4. Watch your Bibles. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. 3 John chapter 1. Verse number 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. 1 John 1 and 4, he speaks of her saying, I found of thy children. But 3 John 1 and 4, he speaks saying, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. I want my children to walk in the truth. When it comes down to it, there is nothing in which I can or will rejoice like when my children walk in the truth. My family, those I know and love.
Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to throw off on your kids tonight. I do rejoice when your kids walk in the truth. It blesses me. I try to let them know it blesses me. I try to let you know it blesses me. I give these Gammon boys a hard time. But I let them know that I love them. And I love to see it when they do right. And it makes me mad when they don't. And I want to go over there and ask Brother John if they don't do right. I want to go over and ask Brother John, do you need me to help you? Give them a real good whooping. Since I don't have no boys, you know, I've got a lot of pent-up whippings that I needed to give some boy and never have been able to. Girls get enough, but I sure could use a boy to give a whooping to. But I'm going to tell you, much as I'd love to see you boys walking in the truth, I do, I love it. There's nothing as great as when it's my girls. When little Ella grabs me and kisses me and hugs me and says, oh, Pa, and moo, moo, moo. She loves the cows. She and I have been walking around with her on top of my shoulders quoting Psalm 23 and quoting the Lord's Prayer. That's two I'm working on. She don't know how to say one sentence yet, but those are the two I'm working on right now. Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer. Nothing in the world like my children walking in the truth.
Yes.
Tonight I wonder, are you walking with the Lord? Are you walking in the truth? Do you know the gospel truth? Have you obeyed the truth? Do you seek to live by the truth? Are you teaching your children the truth? Are you teaching your children the truth? I don't need even to recap the preaching this morning. But Instagram and TikTok and the register, or I don't know what to call that mess. What is that one I keep calling the register, Julie? What's that thing called? What is it called? That one you post your picture on and junk.
Be Real.
Be Real and the ChapSnat. And there's another where all them game kids go. What's the name of that garbage?
Discord.
Discord. That's what it ought to be called too. He that soweth discord among the brethren. Seven things the Lord hates. One of them is he that soweth discord amongst the brethren. That's a good name for a social media app. Discord. Twitter or X or whatever they want to call it now. The media sources. Hollywood, Nashville, Los Angeles, Atlanta, New York, the forces of hip-hop and pop music, thug life. It's wicked as hell. And it's coming against our children like the tidal waves of the ocean.
Amen. Yes.
They don't hide their sin. They declare it as Sodom. We are living in a Sodomite generation. It's wicked. It's on every side. The story is told of the lady, and I've forgotten her name now, that lived in Atlantic City about 115 years ago with the great hurricane came in. She had a home that faced the ocean, oceanfront property she was so proud of. And as the waves of the ocean came in and the news came that said, yeah, everybody's got to evacuate and get out because of the hurricane and the tidal wave, she refused to leave her property. And the last they saw of her, she was standing on her porch fighting off the Atlantic Ocean with a mop. And that's the way that I feel a lot of days with a tidal wave of sin coming into our land, as if I'm one person standing on the porch of my home and my life and this place and this church, and I'm fighting off the Atlantic Ocean with a mob, and I know the tidal wave of sin is greater than what I am and that the task is bigger than what I am. But I'm telling you, the truth will remain when the whole world has been caught up in the tidal wave of wickedness. And I want my children to know the truth. And if they don't hear it from me, who will they hear it from? I don't want my children to have to look to any other man to know what a spirit-filled man lives like. Is anybody listening to what I'm preaching? I don't want my children to have to look at any other man to know what a spirit-filled man lives like. I pray God would help me. You pray that God would help me. Pray for me. I need it bad. I mean, I need it bad. The Lord knows I do. I wonder tonight, what greater joy could you have than for your children to walk in the truth? I mean, if one of your boys becomes an astrophysicist, if one of them becomes a rocket surgeon, that's a brain surgeon and rocket science mixed together, and they're so smart they can do both and they can do rocket surgery. I mean, if your boy becomes a rocket surgeon, but they don't walk in the truth with the Lord, what good is it? I mean, if they hit the biggest home run and run the fastest touchdown and slam dunk the thing on whatever in the basketball court, what difference does that make if they don't walk in the truth with the Lord? I mean, no greater joy. I'll never jump up and cheer as loud for my girls playing some sport or doing some other worldly thing, or even in a piano concert or anything like that, that I think would probably be even more noble. I'll never cheer for them any louder than that, what I will while they're on their knees in prayer. I'd rather have my children walk in the truth. I'd rather know that my little grandbaby's been raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord than to have her to live in a palace. My little grandbaby and my daughter and her husband, they live in a little house that's about 850 square feet, and she's living like a princess. Got a daddy that loves her and a mama that loves her, and they love the Lord, and they're trying to love one another. And she's got an opa and an oma that would move heaven and earth for her, and they know how to pray. That's more valuable than anything. It's not what you see that makes me a king. Treasures unseen. I've preached too long tonight. Please forgive me. Everybody stand. I've given you what the Lord's put on my heart. And quite honestly, Brother Mills stirred me up this morning. That helped me. I wonder tonight, are you walking in the truth? Have you ever been saved? Do you know the Lord? Are you on your way to glory? Are you sure? Do you have the peace of God abiding down in your heart? And are you living like it? Does everybody that you know that you know Jesus? Are you teaching your children the truth? Do you need to repent of your carelessness tonight? This evening, do you have a burden for somebody, for yourself or for others, about which you need to pray? These altars are open. Sister Tanya's going to sing. Obey the Lord tonight. Everybody pray. Anybody pray. Nobody. Whatever the Lord wants you to do, I'll preach to you what God's put on my heart. Would you obey God? You obey the Lord tonight.
I will ever love and trust Him in His
presence. I can have no greater joy than for my children to walk in the truth.
Service is true, when our faith is true.